let's bow. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful and grateful for another day to gather together like this as your children. And Father, we ask your help in always being grateful, always being thankful. We have so much to be thankful for, and we ask that you open our eyes, as the song just said, open the eyes of our heart, and let us see you always. Father, we're grateful for this church. We're grateful for our pastor, this wonderful building, this beautiful family we have of like-minded believers. We ask right now that you bless this message and guide us and teach us by your Holy Spirit. And of course, it's on the merits and by the merits of Christ alone that we pray. Amen. Okay, today we have a special message in keeping with Thanksgiving week, which we normally do. The title of the message is Always Be Thankful, with always in caps. Always be thankful. So, the Bible, as we know, as most of you know, is full of talk about being thankful to God. Like, it's everywhere. And it's almost like a constant reminder, as long as we read our Bibles, of having a thankful perspective. And it's also a big and powerful part of an intimate relationship with our God and Savior. I mean, how intimate are you going to be with God if you're not being thankful? If you're not grateful toward your Heavenly Father for doing everything necessary to save you, etc. So our first key principle we're going to dwell on for a minute to get us going is this. Especially for believers in the Lord Jesus, there's good reason we should always be thankful for something. For something. It's a pretty simple statement. Hopefully we take it to heart, though. Again, especially for believers in the Lord Jesus, there's good reason we should always be thankful for something. Why can we always be thankful, first of all? Very simply, if you just look around, there's always something or someone to be thankful for. You know, even just looking to your neighbors right now, that you have others fighting the good fight of faith with you, that you have others you can lean on or fellowship with, encourage, be encouraged by, you know, all the way until the day the Lord comes back for us. There's always something to be thankful for. Frankly, we just have to open our eyes. Most of the time, that's our problem. And with an attitude of faith, that's the other thing we're going to start with this morning. With an attitude of faith, we can always find something to be thankful for. But we must have an attitude of faith to win this battle. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 11:1. Let's start there. Hebrews 11:1. I can't wait till we get to this chapter in our series on Hebrews. But let's start off with the focus on a proper attitude of faith and what it looks like. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. In other words, we are convinced of better things, even though we don't see them yet. We're convinced. And obviously that can only come from God, to have that type of conviction or assurance of things hoped for that we don't have yet, we don't see yet, we don't see heaven, we haven't seen the Lord face to face yet, but we have a certain like assurance and conviction, and it's supernatural. It's a gift from God. And look at verse 6 real quick. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. As we've seen lately, we're even admonished in the book of Hebrews to not lose our faith, right? several warnings and such. Faith is a God-given source of our hope and therefore of our gratitude and thankfulness. For example, how can we possibly say thank you in the midst of suffering? How can we truly be thankful in our hearts in the midst of suffering? One way and one way only, by faith, by believing God, as we just read, and believing all of his good intentions for us. So that's for starters this morning. It's by faith that we win the battles in our soul. It's by faith that we're even able to be thankful, always, for something. So let's just go over some real-life examples. Maybe some of you are going through these right now, or you know someone going through these right now. These are kind of random. The Spirit just kind of gave me a list, and take it from him if it helps you and hits you. But just real-life examples of situations of loss, right, or suffering. Have you recently lost some money or even a job? Well, when you go home today, walk around your kitchen and see all the food you still have in your refrigerator and your cupboards, and be thankful in that moment. Didn't Paul say in 1 Timothy 6, with food and clothing, we shall be content? So what are we doing when we get all wrapped up in thinking we need all these other things, or when we get wrapped up in temporary losses, when we still have food and clothing? A lot of it, compared to a lot of people in a lot of countries. Here's another example. Are you losing your hearing, or maybe your eyesight, or maybe both? Well, pause and experience your sense of smell. How great is the sense of smell? Like, how awesome is it? You remember that, I guess the scientific fact that the sense of smell is the sense that brings back the most memories? Like, you can remember things from the distant past when you smell a certain thing that you had in a certain past part of your life or whatever. How about appreciating that, which you take for granted? Or the sense of taste, or the sense of touch, that you could actually still touch someone's hand and feel it. Or hug someone and feel it. And be thankful for that in the moment, even though you're losing other things. How about this? Are you sick or in the hospital? Well, look at the fact that you're still alive and breathing. It's times like that that we're truly realizing that every breath we take is a gift from God. Every breath we take. Not just every day is a gift from God. Every breath we take is a gift from God. And sometimes it takes the actual suffering to make us realize it, right? And to be thankful for things like that, that we've always taken for granted. So are you willing to pause in the moment, regardless of your situation, and thank God for what you do have? Do you remember Pastor always used to say that? I used to love when he used to say that. This is years ago. But he would say, thank God for the health you do have. We always look at what we don't have, right? Heck, I'm still, you know, able to see and move and stand here before you. One day I might not be able to. So I'm just going to be thankful and grateful because there's some people that can't right now. How about this one? Are you on your dying bed? Well, as a believer, you can be thankful that you know Jesus and that you're about to be received into his kingdom by Jesus himself. Talk about something to be thankful for, right? Instead of having no hope, you have all hope, even in a dying situation. So as believers in Christ, this is the point. As believers in Christ, there's always something to be thankful for, always. And we're the ones, to our own fault, that lose sight of it for certain reasons, which are coming up. But hopefully you see the point the Spirit is making today. There's always something to be thankful for something. And that's where your focus needs to be, to enjoy the life God's meant you to enjoy. But it is a choice. Will you see your life and your circumstances through the lens of faith, or will you listen to the negativity of your flesh? I don't know about you, but sometimes that negativity in my flesh is pretty hard to get around. I got to bow my head and pray, you know, because it starts to get the better of you sometimes. Again, will you choose to see your life and your circumstances through the lens of faith, or will you listen to the negativity of your flesh? Here's another way to put it. Will you trust God and His infinite wisdom, or trust in what you see instead? For example, only what you can see. Will you trust in God and His infinite wisdom? That, like, He's always got a plan. And if you're going through something or some kind of a loss, He's always got a plan. Even if it's to take you home and be with Him, which is the best plan. You know, even though sometimes we don't think of it that way. We want what we want and we're not ready, or we want our timing. Will we trust God in His infinite wisdom, and that He's for us and not against us, by the way? Or will you trust in what you see instead? Look again at Hebrews 11:1. We're going to read through verse 3. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. That's faith, right? We believe that the universe was created by the word of God, and we believe that what we see now was not made out of things that are visible. We actually believe that. That God made something out of nothing. How do we know? The word of God and faith, right? Are we not called to walk by faith and not by sight? Isn't that not part of our calling as believers? Turn to 2 Corinthians 5:6. 2 Corinthians 5:6. We don't judge by the appearance. We don't judge by what we see. Our faith doesn't come from what we see. It comes from what we know, what we know to be true because of the word of God. 2 Corinthians 5:6. So we, believers, right, are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage. And we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. How can we please God? We just read it in Hebrews 11. One way only, by faith. Again, verse 9. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. So this is our destiny, and we have great courage because we walk by faith and not by sight. We know the things of God are true, and it's just a matter of time when we see them and experience them. I think the point we're seeing is that being thankful or not being thankful is really an issue of faith. It's really an issue of faith. For another real life example, are you right now struggling with some kind of sin? Well, how about being thankful that Jesus said 70 times 7? Remember that passage? I mean, we all struggle with sin at times, right? Like, we all go through these times of temptation, these times of giving in, these times of... struggle is a good word. But how about pausing in the midst of that and being thankful that Jesus said 70 times 7? Hopefully you know what I'm talking about, but let's turn to Matthew 18:21. Matthew 18:21. And have you ever thought about the implications of his statement to Peter? Matthew 18:21. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. If the Lord calls us to forgive others this many times, how much more does God himself offer us unlimited forgiveness in Christ Jesus? God would never ask us to do something that he doesn't do, right? How much more are we promised as believers unlimited forgiveness in Christ, even though we keep screwing up at times? And are you thankful for that? Are you thankful yet, even in this moment? So even if you're struggling with sin, the important thing is that you know it and you're willfully repenting of it, right? Isn't that sometimes the best we can do? Is willfully go to God, you know, humbly and just repent and know he's there for us again, because that's who he is. Our faithful Father's there for us every time with open arms, remember? Remember the father of the prodigal son? So here's another key principle for this morning. Be overwhelmed with thankfulness for his ever faithful forgiveness towards those who turn to him. Like never-ending forgiveness for those who turn to him. Talk about something to be thankful for, always. But it depends upon our perspective. This is kind of the point so far this morning. It depends on our perspective. And even in difficult moments, we can choose to change our perspective on a dime, right? As our pastor has taught us, you can change your perspective like this anytime you want. And it's an issue of faith. By grace, through faith, God is always right there. He's never like stepping aside. He's never leaving us high and dry. He's helping us open our eyes to what we should be thankful for, even in the darkest moments. By faith, Father, right? Show me what I should be thankful for right now. Because I know there's something I'm missing. How about just thanking God that he saved you? And hang your hat on that. Like, you can always be thankful for that, right? Regardless of what you're losing in this life right now. Be thankful that you know your destiny in Christ. Because isn't that everything? Everything else pales in comparison. Turn to Psalm 23. Let's take a look at David's thankful heart towards God, because he knew by faith that God was with him through it all. His faith sustained him, and his faith made him thankful. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Listen, most of you know, David's life was far from perfect, and he was full of enemies. But he maintained this attitude of faith. What does he say in the middle of verse 4? You are with me. In other words, I know it. I believe in you. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me, even though I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It doesn't say God rescued David from his enemies. Not in this passage. It doesn't say he took David aside away from his enemies and gave him a feast. It says he gave him a feast in the middle, in the presence of his enemies. Peace in the middle of the trial. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. And then look at the first word of verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. What is that? Looks like faith to me. Surely, I know it. I know you. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So I don't know about you, but all I see here is David's gratefulness, thankfulness, his faith-filled heart towards God. Thankfulness comes from faith. So ask yourself a question. If you're struggling to have gratitude in your life, are you looking at the positives or are you looking at the negatives? And this is not a self-help type of a statement right now, which the world sometimes tries to use positive thinking and human power to, you know, make its way through life and wish the best in your own life, etc. This is not the power of positive thinking. Are you, as a believer, looking at the positives or looking at the negatives? As a believer with an eternal destiny with Christ, we can always look at the positives. It's the righteous thing for us to do. Our God deserves that kind of respect and honor. I'm going to repeat that in a minute, but recently it hit me in my own soul that anytime I lose peace, I'm out of line. It is not justified. I'm out of line with God. Anytime I lose peace, I'm insulting God and Jesus for what he put to bed for me at the cross. What right do I have, in other words, to lose my peace when he's taking care of everything, the most important things? So who am I to not be at peace knowing what he did for me once for all? That he's taken the big thing out of the way, eternal life and eternal death, right? He's taken eternal death out of the way for us completely. Who am I to not be at peace regardless of the details of my life? Unless I lack faith. Unless I lose gratitude. Again, as a believer with an eternal destiny with Christ, we can always look at the positives. It is the righteous thing for us to do. Our God deserves that kind of honor and respect. So when you're ungrateful, when you're looking at the negatives, when you lose your peace, repent. Right? Just repent right away. He's right there again. He's right there. Open arms. Repent. Change your perspective and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going to enjoy your peace right now. I know that you are with me always, as David just spoke about. Turn to Colossians 3, verse 12. We actually, as believers, we have the right to look at the positives. We have every right to, because of everything he's accomplished for us, because of his faithfulness. Yes, he tests us at times, right? He tests our faith. But we have every right to look at the positives. Colossians 3:12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And here it is, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Be thankful. Just be. Be thankful. Reside in the sphere of God. Be thankful. He's for you and he's not against you. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts because of all those reasons. And be thankful. Keep it simple. Go by faith, not by sight. Have the faith of a child. Even though the world will call you ignorant or foolish, have the faith of a child. I trust my dad. Everything's going to be okay. Just a matter of time. God did everything necessary to provide us salvation from the great white throne judgment in Revelation. And he's provided us on top of that a perfect, loving, eternal existence with him forever by grace, right? So when we get in moments of discontent, which we all fall into at times, let's consider it simply a lack of faith in that moment and consider what we can do about it. What can we do about it? This leads us to maybe the best one-word prayer imaginable. Anyone know where I'm going with this? Yeah. Help. Who said it? Is that you, Lydia? Oh, Monica. Monica knows that prayer, right? Was it you? Help! And how many times have you ever prayed help and just stopped your words right there and just be with him? And because he knows every single thing that's transpiring in your mind and your soul and bothering you, right? Help. I'm insufficient, right? Is basically what you're saying. I can't do this right now. Help. And let him just be still, right? Be still and know that he is God. So we can always go to God, we know, because of who he is. Whenever we go to him in humility like that, he's always hearing us. He's always ready and willing to do something. We're the ones that have to turn back to him and even ask for more faith, right? Turn to Mark 9:14. Let's look at this example and let's thank God. Let's be thankful that this is in Holy Scripture, because if it wasn't, we wouldn't know about this option. And we'd sometimes think we're all alone when we lack faith. But we know that's not true. Mark 9:14. And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and the scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And Jesus answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it often casts him in the fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe. Help my unbelief." The Lord knows well we all lack faith at times. And even the disciples failed here. But we can always pray for more faith. Thankfully, verse 24 is in the Bible. Another thing to be thankful for. This example. In fact, it's the best thing to do when we realize we've been out of line, doubting God, losing our peace. It's the best thing we can do is go back to him and yell help, ask for more faith. Because when we lack peace, we lack gratitude. And we're out of line. It's like we're off base. Our heads are in left field, right? May we humbly turn back to him every time we need to, knowing he's there for us every time, faithfully to restore us. How many times have you ever not gone to God right away? Out of guilt, out of what? Self-condemnation? Saying, "I can't go back to him again." What else are you going to do? You going to solve it yourself? And we all know self-condemnation is not where God wants us to be. So just go back to him again. He knows. He knows already. 70 times 7. Talk about something to always be thankful for. Just humbly go back to him again. Now, I think at this point we'd be remiss if we don't go to the following passage. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5:16. It's this passage to me is almost like a reset. It's like, you mean it's that simple? You mean this will satisfy God, if you will, experientially? This is the will of God for me? 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is the simple and pure faith we're called to live in. Faith of a child, right? I mean, it doesn't get much simpler than this. Like if you said to your six-year-old son, son, this is what I want you to do. You know I'm right here with you, right? This is what I want you to do. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks always. This is my will for you. It doesn't get much simpler than that. Go back to the faith of a child. This type of faith leads to finding things to be thankful for. Something to be thankful for. Give thanks in all circumstances, it says. Choose to be always thankful. Because we can always find something to be thankful for. As believers, we never lack the blessings of God. Think about that. If you're a believer in Christ, you have way more than you understand that you have, even with what you know in the Word of God. We never lack the blessings of God, and we will keep on thanking Him forever and ever when we go home to be with Him one day. So why not start now? Like in heaven, we're going to be having great joy, basically thanking Him for all eternity, singing with all our hearts that He saved us from what we really deserved. We're just going to be overjoyed. How about starting now? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's the will of God for us. Beautiful, right? Thank God it's that simple. So as we close, think about this also this morning. Joy and thanksgiving are very intimately related. Joy and thanksgiving are very intimately related. We just saw it in the passage we just read. Rejoice always, right? Pray without ceasing and give thanks in all circumstances. Joy, rejoice, and give thanks are very, very similar because they both have the root of their meaning in the Greek word charis, which is where we get grace or favor from. We're under God's favor. We're under God's grace as believers. So rejoice and be thankful. We've been talking a lot about joy lately, His joy, which really comes from the great purpose of serving others, right? Serving God and serving others. And it's His joy that causes us to be thankful. Like, how about thank you, Lord, that I can even serve you in some way that's meaningful to you. Thank you that I can serve others, like my fellow believers in Christ, like my family. Like I could take care of my parents or take care of my children. Thank you for the privilege. Because it has divine value with you. And that brings you joy. And you get more thankful again. It's God's great grace that causes us to be thankful and have joy. And only when we lose sight of His grace and the privilege of serving others, only then do we lose our joy and forget to be thankful. It's all a privilege. Think about that word privilege. Like to be alive is a privilege. To be here at this church is a privilege. A church that actually teaches the Word of God. There's so many privileges we have. By grace. Look again at 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What's the title of our message? Always be thankful. There's no legitimate reason not to be. We can always find something to be thankful for. Because we believers stand by the grace of God. We stand by the grace of God. Don't forget that. And He makes us stand. He even picks us up when we sin. Go to Romans 14:4. Romans 14:4. Speaking of struggling with sin earlier, have you forgotten this? God is so for us that He'll even pick us up when we fall. Romans 14:4. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls. And he will be upheld. Some translations say he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. This is how much the Lord is actually for us, even when we fail. Nothing in this world can compare to our standing with God through Christ. We are victors. We are victorious already by His grace, now and forever. So we must believe this. Back to our original point this morning. By faith, we must believe that God is for us and not against us, if we're to live a life of thankfulness as He desires us to live as His children. Go to 1 John 5, verse 1. As we close and get into our communion celebration. Again, we must believe this by faith in God's word if we are to live a life of thankfulness as He desires for His children. 1 John 5:1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, you have everything. You even have the faith that God gave you to stand on. And He will even make you stand when you're weak. Again, this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So there's something we can always be thankful for. Let's celebrate communion now and get the music going and pass out the elements and think about the one to be thankful for always. Okay. Let's start our celebration by allowing me to read the following to you from Philippians 2. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Talk about something to always be thankful for, or someone to always be thankful for. Every day, regardless of our losses, we can look to Jesus with gratitude. Without him, we'd have no hope at all, but with him, we have a perfect and better hope, as we've seen in the book of Hebrews, forevermore. Because he gave up his body and his blood on the cross for us. So we can always live a life of gratitude by faith. In 1 Corinthians 11:23, it says, I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In memory of our Lord, let's eat the bread. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's drink. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you now and forever for the eternal life you purchased for us through your Son. We thank you for sending your Son out of heaven. We thank you for his completely unselfish sacrifice. And we thank you for taking eternal death out of the way for us once for all through the blood of your Son. Father, help us to always be thankful with the faith of a child and not give in to the lies of the world or the negativity of our flesh, but to always be thankful with the faith of a child, your child. Father, we ask that you bless us all as we go. Help us spread your good news to this lost and dying world. While we have chance and while we have the privilege of serving you and bringing you glory. And we ask all these things in Christ's precious name, and by the power of your Spirit, we pray.